Are you in for a treat today? My next guest is Tara Schaefer of theoddwitch.com. Tara is an astrologer and she focuses on the intersection of erotic astrology and business astrology. I have gotten a report from Tara and I'm telling you, it knocked my socks off. It actually brought me to tears. Reading one part of the report, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. So in this interview, we are talking all about, we're talking a lot about astrology. She talks you through different things to look at in each quarter in your own astrology. And we explain each step as we go along. We explain, you know, what Aquarius means, what Scorpio means, what second house means, all of those things so that you're not going to be left behind. Now, another thing that's cool about today's episode is that Tara and I are human design twins, almost. We are both 2-4 emotional manifesting generators and quad rights in human design, which is really super cool. It's fun. It was so fun to be in the room with her. So listen in. You are going to love this Design to Profit Stories summer series interview. Say that 3 times fast. Welcome, Tara, to Unjaded. You can't even imagine how excited I am to have you here today. Thank you for being here.
I am super excited to be here. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I love your community. I love what you've created, and it's really helped me to get a good grasp on human design and to learn the whole ins and outs of it as far as business is concerned.
Okay. And you're no stranger to business.
No, definitely not.
How long have you been in business?
Oh, geez. My first quote unquote entrepreneurial thing was when I was 9 years old.
I love it.
I created like a little dance group for people and I had them sign up, and like that was my little summer project. So I've kind of always had some sort of little side project going, for sure.
Of course. And I said a little bit in the intro about how we're kind of human design twins, you and I. We have a lot of similarities in our design. So 2-4, emotional manifesting generator and quad right. And I just kind of found out a few minutes ago that you're actually quad right. I don't know how I didn't realize that about you.
I'm still very new to human design, so I'm not quite sure what all of that means. But the second I found you, I was like, oh, I need to listen to everything that she says, because we had a very similar chart. I was like, okay, I'm going to listen.
Yeah, you've got a ton of power in your design. So when I was looking earlier, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 channels. Is that correct? I think, yeah. And a lot of integration and individuality, a lot of creativity in your design, a lot of power in your design. I love it. I love all designs, but I really love your design. Yeah.
Thank you.
So tell me about your business, your business now.
My business now is I'm a business astrologer. Mm-hmm. So I'm way heavy into the astrology side of it. But I love to help women, create and design their business according to their astrology chart. But I would love to be able to integrate human design into that, which is why I've kind of gone down this rabbit hole, as anyone does when they first discover human design.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm the other way.
I love trying to figure out the intersection, like, okay, their astrology chart says this, so where is that in human design?
Yeah. And I'm being called the opposite way. I'm like human design and I'm playing in astrology now, going, okay, so what does that mean if it's this house, or what does it mean if it's this planet? It's so fascinating how they intersect.
I love it.
Yeah. Sure. So who are your favorite people to work with in business astrology or with business astrology?
Oh, 100% Catherine Hocking. She's the main person that I've worked with as far as business astrology. It's kind of a new field. There's not many people out there who do business astrology very specifically. And she's kind of my go-to for business astrology.
Okay. And what about clients? Who do you love to work with as far as clients go?
I tend to attract a lot of women in their what I call second season. Mm. So, 40s and above. And, they've got the kids. They're all out of the house. And now they're like, what do I want to do? This. So they're just starting out in their business.
And you help them do what?
start their business. Through business astrology, I can help them kind of look at their chart and see where their strengths are, their weaknesses are, and then kind of like form a plan. Like for example, if someone such as myself, I have a lot of 12th house placements. So for me, doing live calls isn't always the thing that, you know, is going to work for me. So I kind of can look at the chart and be like, you know, there's other ways that you can do this business and have the same outcome according to what your astrology says.
Oh, that's really cool. So 12th house, I'm like super beyond amateur here, but just so we keep listeners up to speed, 12th house is things that are hidden, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why now for you, it feels better to be a little bit hidden.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. So, you're a member of Design to Profit. I was going to say you and I met, but we don't really meet because you don't come to live calls. You tend to watch the replays. How does that work? Does that serve you?
It does. Even the co-working sessions, because what I will do, I tend to be a very disciplined person. So like I can even watch a co-working session and I'm like, okay, it's co-working time. You know what I mean? And I do it. I go through the time, I listen, I, you know, absolutely. Wow. I also tend to have a little bit of social anxiety. So for me, it really helps to be able to watch the replays. Mm-hmm. I've been in other communities where they don't put up the replays. And I find it pretty annoying because, you know, due to time constraints, other obligations, other, you know, you might not be able to make it.
Yeah. And you and I sometimes talk on Messenger too, which I love that. We both love a good voice note. So I love that we can kind of connect there. And you've got the Facebook group where I see you connecting sometimes or asking a question if you've gone through a replay and you're questioning something. As you're talking about, I'm a very disciplined person and I can watch the replay. I'm like, there's that 952 channel that I wish I had. There's one place we're not twins. I cannot make myself watch the replay. Yeah, so jealous of that channel. So for our listeners, 952 is often, so when you have any channels defined between your sacral and your root, those are called format channels. So they format the entire design. So even though Tara is a manifesting generator, she's a very, even though we have some of the similar channels as well, she's a very different manifesting generator than I am, even because of that one channel, because that one channel is all about coming to stillness and focus, concentration on the one thing that you're here to concentrate on. I don't have any of that in my design. I really wish I had that channel. I have a friend who has that channel and I'm just always so envious of it. So if you've got that channel and you're listening, then kudos to you.
You know, what's funny about that is sometimes I will hear other placements in astrology, like anyone with a Mars in Capricorn. I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous of that because it's a similar placement. Like they have the determination and the drive to just go for the long game.
Oh, okay.
So it's interesting that I have that in my human design, but I don't have that placement in my astrology.
Oh, that is interesting. That is, do you find that most often when you're learning about human design that it does layer most often with the astrology really well? More often than it does,
but it's not necessarily placements that I would think of.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like in human design, I could find a placement. And then when I look at the astrology chart, like for example, that Mars in Capricorn, I don't see it there, but I might see it, you know, somewhere else. Like for example, in my 10th house, I have a lot of really big planets. So I can see that there, the drive, the determination. So okay. it shows up, but it might not be where I expect it to show up.
Okay. So 10th house is career, public facing life. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think we both have a lot of pile up of planets in that house.
Yeah.
Pretty. Okay. Okay. Like again, very super, super amateur, but just in the interest of helping people to track with us. So when you and I connected beyond the membership, I can't even remember, you reached out to me in an email, I guess. And then we got talking about astrology and you provided me with this incredible astrology report. If you are listening to this episode, you need to treat yourself to this. And you have to get in the back door. You can't just, not everybody can just find this on your website. No. So it's erotic astrology. And it really turned me on, for lack of a better, but it turned me on because I was reading it and I was like, oh my God, this is my business. This erotic astrology completely explains my business. Can you speak to that and take however long you want? Tell us everything.
Okay.
Not a very good manifesting generator question. Sorry. Where do you start?
Exactly. I won't get into how I got into erotic astrology, but I find it fascinating, and I don't think there's a lot of people talking about it, and I'm not sure a lot of people are ready for it, which is why it's kind of like in the background. But I do think there's a huge intersection between whatever you do, business-wise, is exactly the things that you will do in the bedroom. So, for example, the way that you want something, desire something, be it money, be it business, that's going to show up in the bedroom. So if you're not projecting yourself in your business life, maybe look at your sex life, because it's a little bit easier for us to dissect. It's a little bit more in your face. And that's kind of where the intersection is. It's the same thing. The way that you do something in the bedroom is exactly the same way that you're going to do it in real life. And I actually created, just for your audience, Vicky, a special report, and it does layer in the eroticism and also the business. So it kind
Wow,
of
thank
combines
you.
it.
Oh my God, that's
So, yeah.
amazing. Wow, thank you so much. So the report that I got focuses on four planets. And somebody might think, gosh, only four planets? But it packs a punch. Like it was really worth it. So why Mars? I'll just go through them one on one. Why Mars as far as it relates to business and eroticism? What do you take from that?
Mars is kind of like your directness, how you're going to go about things. So when you think about it as far as erotic astrology, this might be, Mars is like your sex drive. So when you put that into a business context, Mars is like your business drive. Like, what am I driven to go for? What am I, going after?
And then
And then you
in, go ahead.
Have Venus. So Venus is your desire. That's your attraction style. And, from a business standpoint, obviously that's how you're going to attract money, how you're going to attract clients. And from an erotic standpoint, that's how you're going to attract lovers, companions, friendships, all of those things. It's your attraction style.
The Mars piece too is interesting because in human design, what in content by design and through human design, we look at your unconscious Mars as your core wound, which I think actually comes from Gene Keys more than human design. But we look at that as your core wound. And the line of your unconscious Mars, we look at as the type of business that you have, the style of business that you have. So it's interesting that it's like there's your drive, but there's also your core wound, which is something that as you heal it, you're better able to bring into your business because it becomes your vocation or your calling. So it's really
Yeah.
cool how they layer together. The moon is another one that you focus on. Why the moon?
Well, the moon is it's all about emotions and what makes you feel safe and stable. So, if you're looking at it from a business context, it could be like, what do I, as the business owner, need to feel safe and secure running this business? And then from an erratic standpoint, like, how do I need to feel safe by what lovers I bring into my bedroom, by what people I bring into my life? So it's more of a safety, security thing. In astrology, the moon is ruled by Cancer, and you will find a lot of people who have a lot of Cancer energy. They need a little bit more security, a little bit more safety, just to feel safe and secure.
So if we play with me, I am a Cancer moon. So I would think that that would be, you're smiling, so I'm thinking that must be significant in some way.
Yeah.
And I'm fourth line in human design, and fourth line craves that stability, needs their community, needs their network around them. Well, you're a
Yeah.
fourth line as well. You're a 2-4 as well. So, yeah.
What do you remember off the top of your head what house your moon is in?
I think it's my midheaven. Does that make
Oh, that
sense?
makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. Maybe you can tell us what it means. You're
So
laughing. I'm like, it has to mean something.
in order for you to even personally feel safe and secure as a person, you need that recognition, you need that career, but you also need to kind of go deep a little bit with your people, which makes sense. Like, because when we get on calls with you, one of the first things you do is you're like, I need to see everybody's face. Like, I need that that security that, you know, that everybody's here, everybody's okay. And you probably also get a sense of feeling like, oh, everything's okay when you're working on your business.
Yeah, definitely. And the depth, so you and I both have these things in our human design. We're both second lines, and second lines have this depth of wisdom. It's different than one line. So one lines in human design, they go down the rabbit hole, they dig deep into things that interest them, they investigate everything. Nobody can have as much information as a one line. But for us as second lines, it's different because the wisdom lives in our bodies. It's just something that's there that we don't even know. We're naturally gifted at it, and we don't even know that we have it. And then you and I both have the 1648 channel, which is a depth of wisdom that there can be in the shadow state, there can be a feeling of inadequacy there. We think we don't know enough, but we always know loads and loads and loads. Have you dealt with that?
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
definitely
Yeah.
100%.
Accurate.
100% accurate.
So then I think this might be the big guns of the erotic astrology and probably the big guns in business as well. And that is Lilith.
Yeah, Lilith is a big one. First off, in astrology, if you go to any astrology software and you look up Lilith, you're going to find different points. The one that you're looking for is Black Moon Lilith, because she's actually an asteroid,
Okay.
and that's the one that you want. And so Lilith is all about like a past wound, but not karmically. She's kind of like where you've been shunned in life and told to like hold back and repress yourself. And I think so many women resonate with this because we all have this story as women in society, in our modern society, where, you know, you're told you're too loud, you're too much, you're too this, but that's actually your talents that should be brought into the world. Those are the things that you need to get past that wound to be like, I'm not too loud. I'm not this. I'm not that. Like, I'm here and I'm gonna take over the world.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
We all hope, yeah.
Yeah. So, can you walk me through an example, like your favorite example? Somebody has Lilith in what house? And what would it
Well,
mean?
the easiest way for me to look at this is, for example, I have Lilith and Scorpio in the second house.
Oh, that sounds heavy.
Yeah. And
Okay.
Lilith and Scorpio is kind of like the original Lilith, quote unquote.
Okay.
So basically, she was told that she is too much sexually. She should not show up as feminine. She should not show up as a woman and embrace all of her womanly skills. But in my life, I have found, and being in my second house, that Scorpio energy, I need to go deep with my clients. I need to lean more into my feminine energy. And that's how I'm going to break that pattern and how I really feel safe, if that makes
Okay.
sense.
It does make sense. So, just to bring listeners up to speed, because maybe somebody listening has never even heard of what Scorpio is or anything, Scorpio in human science, Scorpio in astrology represents what? What? How would you explain Scorpio?
Scorpio are known for deep transformation. They're a water sign, but they love to go deep. And the interesting, I have two Scorpio daughters, and I know this firsthand. Like a Scorpio, they kind of like they have this ability to just feel what's wrong with someone, to feel what's going on. But if they don't trust you, they will shut you out like that. Because like a
Okay.
scorpion, they will just sting you, like that's it, you know? So they're very a little bit stubborn, but they really like the shadow work. They're all about the shadow work, you know,
Okay.
digging into yourself, what's going on, what's this? Like they want all of that deepness.
And second house, I think, is what you do for money. Is that, or
It
your,
is.
is something about
It
money?
is.
Okay. So like
It's like,
business.
yeah, like personal possessions from a business astrology standpoint, that would be one of the, it's considered one of the money houses. So how you earn money, but that's how you as a business would earn money personally. And then you have your eighth house, which is another money house, and that's how money comes in. It could be through partnerships, through, you know, whatever.
Okay. So for you personally, You have Scorpio in your second house. So when someone comes to you to build their business, they're just starting out in business and you're going to look at their astrology and like, this is the best way for you to do this, but you're not going to stay on the surface with them because what serves you, Tara, is to go really deep with them and see what they're not seeing.
Yeah, and that took me a long time to realize, because originally when I started my business, I wanted everything automated. I didn't want to do anything. And then I realized I was missing that piece. And once I started, having more one-on-one clients and the conversations and going deep with people, that I personally, as the business owner, felt better. And that's kind of placating to that Lilith wound, so to speak.
That's really interesting. And with your human design, so as a quad right, so much of what we can do is just be in the room and allow people to pull the juice from us because we don't know what's within us. So just for listeners who may not have heard of what this is, so quad right, we're referring to the arrows at the top of your head center in your human design chart. And when all four of them paint right, point right, you are a quad right, which is the new way of being in the world. Ra called quad rights all seeing and all knowing. I always feel arrogant when I say that, but it's because we're taking in everything from everywhere all the time and we don't even realize we're taking it in. Like both Tara and I have undefined head and ajnas, and we don't have any filing system for where we keep things in our brains. Like we don't know what's there. So if someone with a defined head and ajna, someone who is a quad left or has left facing brain and mind arrow, they would be able to know where they've put things in their brain and they would be able to go back and retrieve them. We don't have that ability. You pull the gold out of us. So when we have a client sitting in front of us or a group sitting in front of us, they can pull this stuff that we don't know even that we know. So I could see how that would benefit your clients as well, that you would need that, like the low ticket complete automation is not going to work for us, basically.
That is the best explanation I've ever heard, because, like I said, I'm new to human design and I've kind of got a small grasp on what that means. But now I'm like, oh, I get it. That makes sense. That totally makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah, it's so weird to me because like my husband, he has a memory. He mem remembers all kinds of things from when we were younger. We've been together since I was 18 and he'll say something and I'm like, I have no recollection of that. So I find that with my brain, like something that I don't need to remember, I don't know that it's there or not there. Maybe if he asked me the question differently, I would be able to get it, but if it doesn't need to be there, it's like long gone.
Interesting.
What
I'm
about
wondering. I'm wondering how much the, as far as human design and the astrology intersection, how much like the quad right. I wonder if it's more of like a Scorpio or a Pisces type of thing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. You'll have to research that and get
Yeah.
back to me because astrology, I find there are just so many moving parts in astrology that I find it hard to, I'm getting little by little by little with it.
That's what I think of human design.
So when you're working with someone comes to you for their business, to build their business, is there any one house that you look at more than another? Is there any one sign you love to see? Like kind of where do you go when you're looking at it?
Well, first thing I always look at the sun, moon, and rising, and then I'm always very curious about what their MC angle is. So like the cusp of your 10th house. I want to know what's in that career house. To me, I think the angles speak way more than anything. So in astrology, you have four essential angles. So you have your rising sign, your IC angle, your descendant sign, and then your MC angle. And that's going to really tell you a lot, especially in business astrology. So your rising sign is kind of like the face of the brand, the face of the business, even if it's a personal brand. That's how people are going to see you. Your IC angle. So if you think of it like a clock, your IC angle is going to be at 6 o'clock. So this is what you, as the business owner, have karmically brought into the business, be it good or bad. And then your DC angle, which would be at 3 o'clock. This is who you naturally attract. And this could be your soul clients, partnerships, again, anything to do with that, whomever you're attracting into the business. And then, of course, your MC line, which is sometimes called your midheaven, which would be at 12 o'clock. And that's your career line. But personally, it ultimately like points to like, this is your ultimate sole purpose. Like, this is what you need to achieve.
Okay.
Not to be confused with your north node and south node. That's a whole different thing.
That's another conversation.
Right. So the main thing is the angles and then the sun, moon, and rising that I look at.
Okay. So you said the IC line is like karma that you've brought into the business. Let's say someone has multiple businesses. Is it that same karma going to play out through every single business that they have until they...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because it's what you, the business owner, have brought in. So say, for example, I was an extremely organized person. It wouldn't matter what business I start. I'm going to bring that it karmically in.
Okay.
But let's say I was really bad at finances personally. I'm still bringing that into the business karmically,
okay,
no matter what. So you got to learn to work with that energy. And, you know, if, say, for example, again, you're bad at finances. Well, maybe when you start this business, maybe hire someone else to, you know, handle the finances or, you know, whatever it is.
And then in astrology, is there such a thing as, like, in human design, we talk a lot about deconditioning. Is there such a thing as, like, someone can heal that? Say they're bad at finances, they can heal that, and then they have an opportunity to change the karma, or it's just always there and they're working with it?
Yes and no. It's kind of like what I'm discovering when I'm going on this human design journey and the astrology. So the astrology is kind of like your blueprint. Like, that's just what you're born with. And then through human design, you can learn to heal those things, if that makes sense. So like in astrology, like, I can look at someone's chart and be like, okay, you're always, this is what you were born with. This was the imprint. That doesn't mean that you can't fix it. You can't change, you know, the imprint. So if you're, again, bad at finances, well, then we can look at your strengths and weaknesses to learn how we can fix that being bad at finances, be it you learning to be more disciplined or hiring someone else. But I find that with human design, how do I put it? Human design is almost more like the roadmap to, like, to fix it, if that makes sense.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Oh, I'm trying to think what somebody else said that, and I'm not going to remember it. It's not coming to me. But they were trying to explain human design in another modality. I was like, oh my God, I love that so much. But it was, yeah, I like the way that you said that. It's like the how you're going to fix it. So do you follow the transits a lot as an astrologer? Do you pay a lot of attention
I
to the
do.
transit? Yeah, okay. And so when you're working in someone's business, let's just say, for instance, it's July 2026 and the astrology is whacked. We keep hearing, like, you can't turn on, I actually haven't turned on social media in a long time, I should, but we keep hearing, you know, Barbo basket and the Saturn this and the Neptune that and the whatever is going on. And right now, at the time of this recording, we're just over an Aquarius full moon.
Yeah.
So there's a lot happening. How do you work with somebody in their business with their natal chart and what's happening now? Or do you?
I do, but I focus the transits more on if we're doing something as far as, like, business timing. You know what I mean? Because your natal chart is your natal chart. Now, of course, you have things like your Saturn return and how that's going to affect you personally. So here's the little thing. Like, we just had, like you said, the Aquarius full moon. So if you look at your astrology chart and on the outer wheel, if you find where Aquarius is, that's what house that's going to be, you know, activating for you.
Okay.
And same thing, you can look at your business chart and, you know, okay, that's the area of my life that it's activating. But when it comes to transits, that's more of like a timing thing. So, like, I'm getting ready to time a launch. I'm getting ready to, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I recently had a friend of mine, she was getting married and she was like, okay, I have 3 dates. What's the best date that's going to work? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was able to time that for her and, you know, this is the best time.
Yeah. So I didn't know that this was the whole game that you were in, because I don't see you on call. So I didn't know that this is the whole game that you were in, but now I know.
Yeah.
But I have, I had an astrologer work on, I think they call it an electoral chart for opening Blue Sparrow. So we chose the date that I was going to open and launch Blue Sparrow right down to the minute. Like, people were like, why are you opening at noon? Like, you're up at 4 a.m. Why are you opening at noon? It was, or 12:04, I think it was 12:04. But now I'm getting ready to open a bricks and mortar. So I will definitely be reaching out to you to be like, okay, let's look at the timing of this, because I did a trial run in a retail spot in town for 6 months just to see, emotional authority, get in it, feel it, all of those things. And we really should have looked at the chart of that business before we opened. We ended up with, I can't remember exactly, but like there was a lot in the 12th house. A lot of stuff was hidden. And I used to always say, this is an invisible location. And then when I met with this astrologer, she's like, well, yeah, like it literally is. So, I mean, anyway, yes, I think it's well worth it to look at the timing of things. And I wasn't thinking about launches and things, but that makes a lot of sense to look at the transits for launches.
12th house, it's interesting you said that because in business astrology, 12th house, and I mentioned this in that short little reading I gave you, a lot of times that has to do with retreats. And what that means is like anything, if you have a lot of planets in the 12th house, like you might be able to, and this is similar to a 2-4 thing. So like you can get in there and do the thing, but like ooh, then you need to relax and retreat. Like
Definitely.
there's lots of things you can do in business to accommodate that energy, but that's a main reason why I always pull like the actual business chart, not just the natal chart.
So when you're looking at someone's business, you're looking at both their own personal chart and the business chart. And you're okay. Okay.
Absolutely. Your
So,
business has a birth date. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like it could be the time that you, and this is the hard part for people. They're like, well, when is it? When was my business born? When did you feel like it was a business? And that's what we're going to go with. You know, was it when you made your first sale, when you got the business license, when you decided to do it? When did it really feel like a business?
Yeah, that's a great answer. I just had someone reach out to me and ask me that question because she wants to do the astrology for business, not with me, obviously. That would be a mistake. But she said, like, is it the registration? Is it the yeah? So that's a good thing. When did you feel like it was real? Yeah, I like that. Is there a transit? I don't know how far ahead you look at them, so this question may not even be applicable, but if so, is there a transit that you look ahead to in the rest of 2026 and you think, ooh, I'm gonna stay indoors. I'm not gonna do anything that day. I'm gonna like, is there anything we need to be thinking about?
No, because I think a lot of it's kind of personal. Do you know what I mean? Like, and here's the thing. Obviously, I love astrology, but there's a lot of like hype around it. Like, for example, I don't really believe in Mercury retrograde. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. Like, is it really Mercury retrograde, or is it because you told yourself it was Mercury retrograde, and now you're seeing all the signs of quote unquote Mercury retrograde? I think for me personally, I tend to look about 3 months ahead, but that's because I run a business, so I do everything quarterly. So I kind of just every quarter just kind of look at things and see. And then you also have to understand in astrology, like a lot of these like bigger planet transits that are happening right now, these are generational transits. So, you know, anything with Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, like so it's gonna you won't even feel them for a few years. If that makes sense, because it's a generational type thing. So I guess to answer the question, I tend to look about 3 months ahead.
Okay, so what are you looking at? You're planning your quarter. What kinds of things are you keeping an eye out for?
First thing, I always look at the moon. The moon is the one where we're going to get most of our energy from, the one that you're going to feel the most. Especially right off the bat. I mean, the energy of the moon, it controls our tides. Of course, it's going to control like everything else in your life and in your business.
And I
So
think for
that's the
women, it's
main one.
particularly strong. So what are you, I'm like really poking the bear here, but what are you looking for with the moon? Like you're looking at when the new moon is, when the full moon is, what planets they're in, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely always new moons and full moons. And then I always look at where is that new moon and full moon happening? And then I'll kind of pull up my business chart. And like I said, if you look on the outer ring, if there's a new moon in Aquarius, full moon in Aquarius, like what part of my business is that going to be activating?
And then what do you do with that information?
Well, let's say for example, like we just had this the full moon in Aquarius. And so let's see, that's in my fifth house. So my fifth house is going to rule like creativity, play, being in the spotlight. Now, Aquarius is a very unstable kind of planet, kind of sign, excuse me. So that's going to be like, maybe I should do something a little different during my creativity, or expect like unexpected delays. And so like, let's say, I don't know, let's say I'm a painter, and I notice that there's that moon in Aquarius. Well, maybe I might not be able to get all of my paintings out at the time. So maybe I'm just going to focus on like, let's just do it how it feels. You know what I mean? Because Aquarius is very unstable.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Every time I hear Aquarius, I don't know why, but the only thing that I think of with Aquarius is Mamma Mia, the musical. I just find myself singing every time I come up with against Aquarius. Okay, so you're looking at the moons first, and then what are you looking at for the quarter?
For the quarter, the next thing I would look at is Venus, because
Because
that has to do with money. It has to
clients.
do with attraction.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Okay, and
And
that's
you do
clients.
have period. Yeah, you do have periods where Venus goes retrograde also. Like I said, I
Okay.
don't pull too much into that, but
Yeah. And anything else?
Mars. When you're looking at something like this, you want to stick with like the planets that are going to have the most effect. So if you think about it, like the planets that I'm talking about, the ones that are closer to us, so it has more of an energetic pool, an energetic thing to it. So that's going to be like the moon, Mars, even Mercury. Mercury is your communication style, even technology, and then like I said, Venus. And then once you get past that, they go longer periods. So like Jupiter and Saturn, it's going to go longer periods. So you don't need to focus on them as much. They're still important. They're still very important, but I kind of tend to focus on those more so like the actual chart as a whole, not so much the transits, their positioning.
Okay. So how do you work with people? I know you said that you work one-on-one, you set up their businesses. You do have lower ticket offers in your business as well. Like you've kind of got a whole lot going on there that people can get into your world. Can you walk us through like the types of different things, like a report or a one-on-one coaching or groups? What do you do?
Yeah, I do have, like I said, the lower ticket like reports, some free things. I have my podcast. I also have a private podcast. It's called the Messy Middle Podcast. And that's free. And I literally just get in there and like, this is what I'm doing in my business this week.
Oh,
Like
right
it's the
on.
messy middle.
Yeah.
And then I do have a group coaching program that I'm right in the process of revamping it. It's going to run again in January of 2027. And then, of course, I also have the one-on-one work. And then there's VIP days. So I do a lot of things with tech, website builds, setting up systems, and that's kind of what the VIP days are for.
Okay. Yeah. And I could see with your human design, like looking at your human design, how a VIP day would be a very good offer for you.
Yeah.
Like get in, get a bunch of stuff done, and get out.
And get out,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. Do you tend to work with people for a long period of time?
I have a few people that I have, and I find that the more personal I can get with them, that's why I love the voice notes, you know what I mean? And stay in contact with them, that the longer they stay, because it's more like forming a relationship. It's not even necessarily like a business transaction at that point. We kind of form a relationship, but there's only like two or three that I can do
Yeah.
energetically at a
Yeah. Yeah. So someone might
time.
look at your human design and say, like, you should have all of the energy in the world, but you find that second line really pulls you back too. Yeah.
Even how I socialize, like one of the things I love to do is I love to shoot pool. I'm pretty good at it too, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But what's great about that is I can go out and when I want to socialize, when I feel like socializing, and I can shoot pool. And I don't, and when you're shooting pool, you don't always have to talk to everyone. You don't always have, we're focusing on the game. And then I can
Yes.
go back home and be like, phew, okay,
Yeah.
let's
Hermit
relax.
time. Yeah, hermit time.
Like even this, I'm probably going to take a nap after this.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
What's your like your own sun, moon, and rising? Sex.
So I'm a Virgo sun, a Taurus moon, and a Libra rising.
Oh, I'm Libra rising too. You
I
already know that,
know.
but okay. Oh, interesting. My husband is a Virgo, and we're both
Oh.
Libra risings, and I'm a Taurus, you know. Yeah.
What's his sun sign?
Virgo.
Okay.
So, and he's a 1-3 manifesting generator. Heavy on the three. Heavy on the three. He's in a
Heavy
second
on
Saturn return
three.
right now. So, it's a real ride. Yeah.
Astrologically, you guys have a lot of like big main placements that really play well with each other. Like if you meet someone that has the same rising sign as you, sun or moon, you're going to really instantly always feel like some sort of connection with them.
We definitely do. And then I have heard it said as well that because, like, when there's a difficult transit happening, it will be happening in the same place for both of us as well. So it's like it can be good and it can also be like really a bit of a train wreck sometimes. But yeah, it's mostly good. Yeah. So let's switch gears for a second because you are in Design to Profit, and I want to just touch a little bit on your experience of that. So you've already said that you don't typically attend live calls. You watch the replays and then you come into the Facebook group, and if there's something you're working through, you'll put it there. Sometimes you'll send me a voice note and we'll talk a little bit over there. I guess I just, because I always feel like when people are only watching the replays, there's a few people from Australia as well, so they have a significant time difference. I always feel like, oh my God, you can't possibly be getting enough. But do you feel like you're being fed by watching replays and having the group?
Absolutely. I mean, I do think that if I were able to attend the live calls, of course I could get more out of that because, I could physically be there and form a different type of relationship. But I do feel like I know the ladies inside of the
Oh,
group.
good. Okay,
You know what I
good.
mean? Just from hearing their stories, I'm like, oh, she's doing that now. Oh, yeah, she did that. Like, so I do think that I could get more from it if I were able to attend the lives. But I love that there is still the replays. And I will say it's such a warm, generous group. Like, even when I go into the Facebook group, like, no one's ever like, who are you? We've never seen you on a call. Like, everyone's so just helpful and generous. And that's one of the things I really like. It really feels like a genuine community, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. Every single person I've interviewed so far, I think I've done 8 interviews maybe so far, every single person has talked about the community. Which I don't know if you find that in your business, but as a 2-4, sometimes that's surprising to me. Sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't even realize that that was the way it is, but it's always the way it is in my communities. Did you do that in your business as well? In every business you've had throughout your life, have you always had that community factor?
Even though I would at the time think that I didn't want to do that, because I'm like, oh, that might be too much. Like, and what I find is once I create the community kind of like everyone jumps in and be part of the community, which is really nice. Really nice for me when I'm like, I don't have the energy to do this.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off of that second line.
Yeah.
I know for me, like when I came to human design, I had no problem understanding that I was a second line. I was like, oh, that fits so well. But the fourth line, I really struggled with because I was like, I really am not someone you would want to put in a group full of people. Like, you want to see me at my most uncomfortable, you will make me walk into a room full of people. Like, I'm okay if I'm on the stage, but don't make me walk into the room when it's already full of people. Like, torture. And I
Me,
had a
Vicky, when I was a kid, you know how like you would wake up late for school? I was the kid that I was like, please, mom, please, I
oh.
cannot walk into the classroom. I'm late. I cannot do it.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, in high school, oh, yeah. But then looking back over my career, 30 plus years, every single business I've had, I've built a community. Every business, even businesses that you wouldn't think of a community with. And it just sometimes it's like, it feels to me like a very big responsibility and such an honor that over and over and over again, people have chosen to be in my community. I just think it's so magical with this 2-4 thing that we've got going on.
I used to own a brick and mortar coffee shop many, many years ago.
Oh.
And even there, like I created this whole little community and we would meet like, every Friday, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's almost like you don't realize you're even creating the community.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, Hey, that's a community of people. Okay.
Here we are again.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's the same people. Like you probably heard me say that on the podcast, where some people have been with me for over 30 years in every iteration of my business. It's so crazy. Yeah, but that
Definitely.
fourth line is so strong. Okay, so what does being in design to profit mean to you? What do you get out of it?
I get a lot of clarity, and I like that it's not just like quote unquote marketing and business talk. Like there's real actual implementation, but in a way that me as a woman, and I know you don't just serve women, but I do,
Mostly.
but mostly, yeah, it's good practical advice. Like I love how you're like, we don't do consistency, not in that way. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like it was just so refreshing to hear that, like, that's okay. And I get to work with my energy, and I get to work with how, I'm showing up. And so yeah, it feels very personalized, even though it may not be meant to be that way. It does feel very personalized, especially because of the human design part of it,
Yeah, for sure. For sure. What would you say to someone who's thinking of joining in? It doesn't have to be, you got to join, but like, who do you think it's for, basically?
I think it's for someone who is serious about doing the work that they need to do. Like, to be completely honest, if you are 100% new to business and you're not ready to take it seriously, I probably would look around a little more. But if you're ready to do this seriously, whether you're new to business or not, this is definitely the place where you're going to get like real practical advice. And I don't mean to sound cliche when I say that, but like I've been in a lot of communities. I've been in the online space for a long time, and this is one of the first spaces that has felt genuine, where you'll get real feedback, where you, Vicky, are not going to sugarcoat things. You're going to be very honest about it, which I love. I love. And even though I can't attend the lives, like sometimes I'm having like the same question or problem as someone else. So I'm still always getting something from it, always, 100%.
Good. Yeah, and I implemented something probably 6 months ago where you could apply for a hot seat if you're not going to be on the call. So you always have that option too. I just have to remember to look at the Google Docs before
Yeah.
the calls. So Tara's probably like, yeah, I've got six of them sitting there and you've never
Yeah,
looked.
pretty
I
much.
don't have that focus thing. Yeah, so I've got to remember to go back in and do that, because I think that's a good way to serve people who can't be live on the call. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for being here. I love talking with you, and I love talking about the intersection of astrology and human design and this erotic astrology, I'm telling you. Yeah, it's so neat how it all plays together. So, where can people find you to get into your world?
Well, I created a special report just for your audience so they
Yay.
can go to theoddwitch.com/unjaded.
Oh, so smart. So smart. Thank you. And I will put that link in the show notes so that they can go right in there and grab that report. And you and I will be having a conversation after this about this bricks and mortar and choosing some dates for that. So thank you for being here. I appreciate
Absolutely.
you.
Thank you so much.
If you are serious and ready to do the things like Tara suggested to build your business, then I would love to welcome you into Design to Profit. Design to Profit is my membership, where you are meeting all of these different entrepreneurs who are building their business their way. And every single one of them in this series has said that they love that they get to build their business their way, that there's no pressure to do it according to someone else's roadmap, and that they love the community. So if that's what you would value in your business and you're ready to take the steps to move your business forward, the link is in the show notes to join us in Design to Profit. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate you.